Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's September 1, 2014, and this is episode 437. I was thinking about hyperfocal distance recently and wondered how long it was since I did my original podcast on the subject. I checked this morning and it was almost 8 years ago now, so I decided to cover this subject again today. Much of what I said back then still holds true, of course, but I also recalled making a diagram last year that really helps to understand hyperfocal distance, so we'll take a look at that today as well. Although I love to use shallow depth of field with the foreground and background out of focus, often for landscape work, it's nice to get everything in focus. This is what's known as pan focus, and can be achieved by setting your focus to what's called the hyperfocal distance, as I'll explain. It's tempting, of course, to just stop your aperture down as far as it will go and try to increase your depth of field so much that you think everything will be in focus, but that's not really the case. Diffraction will get in the way. Diffraction is what happens to light when it travels through a small hole. As the light comes out the other side, it spreads out, and the result is that if you stop your lens aperture down too much, the entire image starts to get soft and slightly out of focus. This, of course, defeats the object when stopping down to make everything sharp. The aperture from which you will start to see diffraction kick in varies from lens to lens, but generally it will start from around f16 and by f22 really start to become a problem. If you're a Canon shooter and need to remove diffraction from an image, there is a tool in Canon's Digital Photo Professional called the Digital Lens Optimizer. As much as I dislike Digital Photo Professional, this can be a very powerful tool if you simply must stop down to f16 and beyond to achieve the depth of field necessary for your image. The Digital Lens Optimizer basically takes all of the information available from the computer design process as Canon develops their lenses and reverse engineers things like diffraction and chromatic aberration, basically realigning the image data to form a much cleaner image. As an example, here's a close-up of the bottom right-hand corner of a photo that I shot at f16, but at f16, my 16-35mm lens starts to get a little bit soft from diffraction and suffers a little from chromatic aberration in the corners. You'll need to go to the blog to see this, really, and what you'll need to do is, so go over to mbp.ac/437, and click on the image. There's two images side to side. And if you click on the left one, you'll see the one that I'm about to talk about now. So as you open that and look at it full screen, you'll see that it is soft, basically. And I've also circled a couple of areas of chromatic aberration. If you click on the right image, though, you'll be able to see the effects of Canon's Digital Lens Optimizer. It's sharpened the image up a lot, getting rid of diffraction, and also removed the chromatic aberration. You can remove chromatic aberration in Lightroom's Lens Corrections panel too, but the ability to remove the effects of diffraction when you have to stop down to small aperture is worth noting if you're a Canon user. In reality, I dislike Digital Photo Professional so much that I rarely use this tool. But it can save you if you absolutely must stop down to f16 and below to achieve pan focus, even when you're using the hyperfocal distance, which I'll explain now. There are exceptions to the guidelines I'm about to explain based on focal length and how close you are focusing, but in general, when you focus your lens on something a reasonable distance from the camera, the depth of field, which is the area of the scene that will be in focus, extends approximately one-third in front of the point at which you focus your lens towards the camera, and it also extends approximately two-thirds into the scene away from the camera after the point that you focused your lens. Depth of field, of course, is affected by the focal length of your lens and the distance to the subject as well as your aperture. Basically, the longer the focal length, the shallower the depth of field, and the more difficult it becomes to achieve pan focus. Here's the diagram that I mentioned. This is one that I used to explain this in my Sharpshooter ebook from Craft and Vision. And you can grab a copy of that if you want to from using the short link mbp.ac/CVSS. That, of course, is for Craft and Vision Sharpshooter. So let's work through the examples that I gave in the diagram. For example, if we shoot with a 50mm lens at f/16, the hyperfocal distance is just over 17 feet or 5 meters. That means that if we focus at 17 feet, the depth of field or the area of the image that will be acceptably sharp starts at 8.6 feet or 2.6 meters and extends to infinity. Some lenses have a distance scale on them in a little small window on the barrel of the lens, which you can reference to set an approximate focus distance. If you use a wider focal length though, such as 24mm, again at f/16, the hyperfocal distance is just 4 feet or 1.2 meters from the lens. And if we focus at that point, everything from 2 feet or 0.6 meters to infinity will be in focus. This is literally right in front of the lens, so you can see how much more depth of field you can get with a wide-angle lens. Conversely, of course, this means that long telephoto lenses are not really suited for shooting at hyperfocal distance. As we see in the diagram, at 200mm with an aperture of f/16, the hyperfocal distance is 274 feet or 83 meters, with acceptable sharpness starting at 137 feet or 42 meters, which is obviously not going to cut it if you want the foreground to be sharp. Of course, you might not be shooting at f/16, and as I said, I generally try not to stop down below f/14, which I consider my soft ceiling, and f/16 is pretty much my hard ceiling for aperture settings. I only use a smaller aperture than that when I really have to, such as to achieve a longer shutter speed. I never go smaller than f/16 for depth of field unless I can commit myself to using Canon's digital lens optimizer. For example, in this photograph, I shot this in Okinawa a few years ago, and because I was shooting at 50mm, I needed to stop down to f/22 to get everything in focus from 3 or 4 feet to infinity. If I recall, I bit the bullet and made a mental note to clean this up with digital lens optimizer later, and it worked out pretty good. As I've mentioned before, most rules are really just guidelines. The trick is knowing what tools you have in your toolbox and using the right ones at the right time. Okay, so we're going to geek out a little bit here as I explain how to calculate the hyperfocal distance. Don't worry though, you don't need to remember this. There are calculators for that, but let's just walk through this to be thorough. So to calculate hyperfocal distance, we have to first know the size of the circle of confusion, and this is often based on an image being printed at 8x10 and viewed from 2 to 3 feet. Confused? Okay, so the circle of confusion is basically the smallest recognizable dot that a lens can create. This is literally the tiniest little dot that can be created when the lens is perfectly focused. Once the focus shifts in front or behind the dot, or if diffraction kicks in, the dot starts to spread out and become blurred. What this means is for an image to be in focus, the light cannot spread out any more than the size of the circle of confusion. Once that happens, it appears blurred. This is also how we get that beautiful bokeh in our images, of course. So, how big is the circle of confusion for a DSLR camera? Well, for a 35mm full-frame camera, it's generally 0.03 millimeters. And for crop factor cameras, it's generally around 0.02 millimeters. You can probably find your camera in the list over at the DoffMaster website, where they have a great online hyperfocal distance calculator, and I'll put links to that in the show notes. Okay, so here's the really geeky bit. Once you know the size of your circle of confusion, to calculate the hyperfocal distance, you divide the focal length to the power of 2 by the aperture multiplied by the diameter of the circle of confusion. Let's say we're going to be shooting at 35mm. 35 to the power of 2 is 1,225. If we're working with a circle of confusion of 0.03 millimeters and an aperture of f16, we need to multiply 16 by 0.03, which gives us 0.48. Then divide 1,225 by 0.48 to get 2,552. As this is currently in millimeters, we divide that by 1,000 and we get 2.552 meters, or 8.37 feet, which is the hyperfocal distance. Now, if you intend to print your images larger than 8x10, which is used to calculate the circle of confusion, you would actually need to calculate your hyperfocal distances differently. But as a general guide, these calculations are fine. And this is what most hyperfocal distance calculators and depth of field calculators use as a base. On that, and I know this is going to sound like a blatant plug, but when I'm out in the field and need to calculate hyperfocal distance, I generally use the calculator that's built into my MBP iPhone app. I need to get a few things updated in the app, but the depth of field and hyperfocal distance calculator are the easiest to use and understand that I've used. You literally just have to select your camera, focal length and aperture, and then tap the hyperfocal distance panel in the bottom left of the screen, and the subject panel will update to show you the hyperfocal distance. It's as easy as that. Although I use my app in the field quite often, and it's great to learn about hyperfocal distance as well, once you have an idea of how your lenses work at various focal lengths, you don't have to use a calculator every time when you want to shoot at hyperfocal distance. For wider focal lengths, I often just stop the lens down to between f11 and f14 and focus about a third of the way into the scene. And for very wide-angle lenses, I literally focus on the foreground right in front of me, and this is usually enough to give me good depth of field in my images. Of course, even when we use a calculator to get the exact distance to focus or focus on for pan focus, you aren't going to pace out the distance and focus exactly at that point. I do use the scale on the barrel of the lens for some lenses. Some of them have it and some don't. Many zoom lenses don't even have that scale now, so you have to just estimate roughly how far into the scene you need to focus anyway. As I said though, I do try avoiding stopping my lenses down past f16 to avoid diffraction when possible. It seems counterintuitive, but although stopping down to say f22 will give you a deeper depth of field, the entire image gets a little softer, so you defeat the object of stopping down. At the end of the day, though, the effect is not that great, and if you're a Canon shooter, it can be removed anyway. So if you really need to stop down, it's not that big a deal. I hope this has helped some. I do tend not to talk about some of these photography techniques because I've already covered them, but I know that there are a lot of new listeners and, you know, people subscribe all the time and don't necessarily go back through the archives. So I'll cover some areas like this again in the future. Note though that we have covered many, many areas of photography over the years, and we have a very powerful search function on the blog too. And now that all of the episodes ever released are all on the blog, you can easily find topics that I've covered that you might not be aware of by going to any blog page and searching with the search field at the top of the sidebar. As you type, a list of posts in which I mention your keywords will be displayed and refined as you continue to type. Give it a try the next time you're trying to find information on something. So before we finish, I'd like to give myself a big pat on the back and thank you all for continuing to listen to this podcast. I realise as I was sitting down to record this episode that it was exactly 9 years ago today, September 1st, 2005, when I released episode 1 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. I'll stick some candles in a cupcake or something later, but I thought I'd mention this before we wrap up for today. As you can see from the episode number, I've missed a few weeks here and there, and it's usually from when I'm travelling or on tours. And, you know, I've missed a few weeks here and there through illness a few years back, but in general, I've been able to create a new episode every week for these 9 years, and I reckon that's a bit of an achievement. I know that many of you have listened from episode one too, so that's another incredible achievement, so thank you very much. And thanks very much for listening today. Remember that you can find me on Google+, Twitter and Facebook, and links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.